You are being influenced. If you've watched any blockbuster film in the last decade, then chances are that it's been influenced by the Chinese Communist Party. Here's the reality. The CCP is running the largest influence campaign in history. In Hollywood Takeover, brought to you by the Epoch Times, investigative reporter Tiffany Meyer reveals how the CCP has infiltrated major studios. For a limited time, watch the first 10 minutes for free on HollywoodTakeover.com/free.
All right, let's hit some buzz. What are people talking about in Pittsburgh right here on the Talk of Pittsburgh, 1320 WJS. Going to get to some serious stories in a second, but first, let's start off with this one. And when I say serious, this is serious, but it's sports serious. We're talking about Ben Roethlisberger and the Steelers. Where do things stand right now? Adam Crowley, Steelers Radio Network, joining me. Read an article, Adam, where one guy described this as a high-stakes game of chicken between the Steelers and Roethlisberger. He said, if you look at the remarks from ownership, If you take a look at what's being played out right now, everything's being played out in the media. It doesn't seem like the two sides are talking much. He said, according to him, it's very telling that this is not a good situation right now. Do you agree with that, or do you see something different?
No, I think it's a bad situation right now. And let me be clear, I don't think that Ben should want to come back to the Steelers, and I don't think the Steelers should want Ben Roethlisberger. Given the way things fell apart at the end, given Ben's cap hit, if he were to walk away or they'd cut him, they would save about $19, $20 million against the salary cap. If I'm Ben, I look around and I say, all my buddies are gone, with Marquise Pouncey and some others not going to be there. And I think that this should be an amicable situation. But Ben does want to come back. And to me, it's very clear, reading the tea leaves, that I don't think that the Steelers want Roethlisberger back, because they absolutely could make this happen under the salary cap. They recently restructured Cam Hayward's salary. They could potentially do the same thing with Stephon Tuitt. They could make this work financially, and they're not doing it right now. So I don't think that they want him to come back.
Well, I mean, I'm with you, because a simple contract restructuring could have already been done. And as I alluded to before, and like the guy was pointing out in the article, the tone of the messaging from team officials would be much different. But when you've got the team GM kind of saying, well, you know, he's on the team as of right now, and how about Dwayne Haskins? It's not real reassuring for Ben, is it?
No, it's not, especially considering last year Steelers general manager Kevin Colbert said that he thought Roethlisberger could come back and play better than he'd ever played before. Fast forward now to a couple of days ago, and Kevin Colbert said, well, Ben Roethlisberger is capable of doing some good things. That is a stark difference in just 1 year, and I think almost getting Steelers Nation ready for what's going to be a potential breakup here.
Look, here's the deal, though, and again, I'm talking to Adam Crowley, Steelers Radio Network. Who do you turn to? Rudolph's not the answer. You know it, and I know it. Dwayne Haskins sure as hell isn't the answer. The Steelers aren't in a position to draft anybody who's the answer. So who do you turn to?
Well, I think that if the Steelers decide that they're moving on from Ben Roethlisberger, it's because they don't believe they can win with Ben this year or without Ben this year. And so moving on from Roethlisberger would mean that they don't have to restructure his cap hit, meaning that they won't have to pay Ben into the future when he's not on the team. And so if Ben's not here this year, I think they just view it as they wouldn't be able to win either way, and they don't want to screw the cap in future seasons by getting Ben to return this season in a year where they're not going to win anything.
Are Steelers fans ready for that? I mean, you're talking about a team that was 11-0 at one point last season that many people thought was the best team in the NFL. Are Steelers fans ready for, okay, we're not going to compete, we're just going to rebuild?
I think that they've made their peace, and I really believe this, with the team not being good enough this year to win with or without Roethlisberger. The way things fell apart at the end, how badly they got beat by Cleveland, looking around and taking the pulse of the rest of the AFC, I think Steelers aren't anything other than realistic when they realize that this year it's just not going to happen either way.
All right, so are we being unfair to Big Ben? In all honesty, as I just said, that team was 11-0 last year. No running game, offensive line up and down, a defense that collapsed late, and they relied on his arm more than they ever have his entire career. Is he getting too much blame for what went down?
I don't know if it's a blame thing, because to me, it's just the roster's in such upheaval that they're not going to be good this year. They're probably going to have a new left tackle. They're going to have a new center. They've got a second-year player at left guard. The right tackle situation's a question mark, and that's only looking at the offensive line and not the other myriad of problems that the Steelers have offensively. I just think that if Ben plays the best Ben can play, with all the turnover that this roster is going to deal with, it's a playoff team, maybe, and nothing better. And I don't think it has to be a referendum on Ben Roethlisberger, but just not wanting to pay Ben for years down the road when this year is going to amount to a wash anyhow.
You know what? I'm not saying you're wrong, but I think a lot of people in Tampa Bay probably felt the same thing about the Buccaneers. Maybe a playoff game if our old playoff team, if our old quarterback plays well. Well, we know what happened there, right?
Yeah, I think the difference is the Steelers, just under the salary cap, aren't going to have the ability to put a good enough roster together quickly.
Gotcha.
I think in a couple of years, they could be good, but I just think this year it's too much of a stretch.
All right, Adam. Always appreciate it, buddy. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, that's Adam Crowley, Steelers Radio Network. And now, you know, you got reports coming out that Roethlisberger's agent saying, yeah, he's going to be back in Pittsburgh in you know, the upcoming season in 2021. Ryan Tolner telling the NFL Network that the club wants the soon-to-be quarterback, soon-to-be 39-year-old quarterback, to return this upcoming season. But again, like Adam talked about, like we just talked about, when they're talking this through the media, it makes you wonder if anything at all is going on behind the scenes. Agents are going to say this. They're going to remain positive. They're not going to show their cards. I don't know. I just think the jury is still out. I don't know if you saw this headline, but the makers of the coronavirus vaccines told lawmakers in a House subcommittee meeting the other day that there's going to be a big boost in the delivery of vaccines over the coming month. They also said they'll be able to provide enough vaccine for most Americans to be vaccinated by the summer. Now, a third vaccine from Johnson & Johnson, which is a single dose instead of two like the other vaccines, expected to be approved soon. So that all sounds fine and dandy until you listen to some pharmacy owners in Pittsburgh who are frustrated. They're mad over the continued problems with the state's COVID-19 vaccine rollout. Some of these owners say they don't even have a vaccine supply, that they don't know when they're going to get more doses. But you've got the governor guaranteeing the doses are coming. And I saw one pharmacy owner. He said, I don't have any vaccinations. I can't get any. But the biggest frustration is I don't have any answers if or when I'm getting any. I know all the little old ladies and old men. We deliver to them. They come in. They want me to take care of them. And he's very, very frustrated that they simply don't have answers for the people in the community. That, as he put it, he's helped his entire life. You know, he feels helpless. They want answers. He can't give them. His freezers are empty. 200 people are due for their second shot. They're left waiting instead. He said they're absolutely cut off from doses. I haven't had anything in a month. Now, the state is promising those who are waiting for a second dose will get it within the CDC-recommended 42-day window. But the pharmacies, though, are telling that different story, saying the probability of everybody getting their second dose on time, less likely by the day. And I'll tell you what, I've talked to a number of people who have said to me that this second dose is putting them down. It might only be for 8 hours, 10 hours, 12 hours, but it's hurting them. I mean, more than one has said, you know what? I got the first shot. Not an issue. Nothing happened. Second shot, sick. As a matter of fact, I just talked to a buddy of mine the other day, and I called him up and I said, you sound like hell. He goes, man, I got that second shot. It's hammering me. And I said, you're not the first person to say that. And he goes, yeah, I know. I heard it before too. I thought it was just, you know, people running off at the mouth. He goes, but I'm feeling the effects right now. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just saying that there are people out there saying this second shot is rough, unlike the first one. Kennywood. Boy, that brings you right to summer, doesn't it? As soon as I saw this, all I could think about was 85 degrees and riding roller coasters at Kennywood. More than 500 feet of track on the racer roller coaster replaced at Kennywood. This was in a social media post, park officials saying it was part of their annual routine maintenance. Now, the tentative schedule has the park opening for the season on May 8th. So, once again, that's going to be May 8th. I've been going to Kennywood, oh, I can't even tell you how long. Taking the kids since they've been probably 5 years of age. And it's always a great outing. What we do, we take a cooler, we take food, we take everything. We get to that picnic area, we spread out, and then we go. And it's so much more enjoyable now because the kids are older. Now I could just, okay, here's $30. Go knock yourself out. You've already got a ticket. You've got food. You got whatever. They got their buddies there. When you take them when they're younger, you know, it's that constant attention. You constantly got to be with them. Still enjoyable. But now I finally hit the stage where they can go one way. I have no concerns. I can go the other way, do whatever the hell I want. And it ends up being a thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyable afternoon and day, really. And he always tries to get me on that thing that drops straight down. I can't remember the name of it. Not a chance.
You are being influenced. If you've watched any blockbuster film in the last decade, then chances are that it's been influenced by the Chinese Communist Party. Here's the reality. The CCP is running the largest influence campaign in history. In Hollywood Takeover, brought to you by the Epoch Times, investigative reporter Tiffany Meyer reveals how the CCP has infiltrated major studios. For a limited time, watch the first 10 minutes for free on HollywoodTakeover.com/free.